I would like to tell you about a man and, well, two men and their wives. Dr. John Edward Church, he is on the far left, and his wife Decima. And I will tell you a little bit about Simeone and Eva, who are on the right. John Edward Church, studied medicine at Emmanuel College, Cambridge, and at St. Bart's Hospital, London. So he studied in Cambridge, really close down the road. I think Emmanuel College, if you want it in a kind of Cambridge way, is diagonally opposite to John Lewis. Would that be about right? So during his time as a student in Cambridge, he became very involved in the Cambridge University Union, which it's a union which promotes, still to this day, the work of international missions. People join the union and they pray together and they worship together. John attended prayer meetings and spent a lot of time praying for countries that he had never been to, praying for countries in the east of Africa. And it was during these times of prayer that John became convinced that God was calling him to go and be a missionary. He decided that it should be right for him to go with a church mission society who had a long history of sending missionaries to Africa, and he travelled to Rwanda. John and his wife Decima first moved to Uganda, where they did some training, and then to Rwanda. John desired and believed that there would be a spiritual renewal. I think very like many people who go into something new, he was waiting and ready for this to happen immediately. But he was soon discouraged and realised that the spiritual element of his work, because he was a doctor and he was setting up a hospital, but the spiritual side of his work was to him felt very disappointing. He met Simeone, who was a remarkable Mugandan, so he was from Uganda, which is neighbouring to Rwanda. And both men shared a deep spiritual conviction that God was powerful and had the power to revive his church. And in the years that followed, this reviving became incredibly evident. John Church gathered around him a team of African workers, both in the hospitals and in the church. And it was then that there was the beginning of something that is known as the East African Revival. It hugely affected that area of Africa. And there are still ripples of that going on today. I will explain a little bit more about why we might be linked to that in a moment. Dr. Church was convinced that a team of men and women who were right with each other and one with each other was the way forwards. He believed that that unity and that being in good relationship with each other was something that God would really honour. And he wasn't an eloquent speaker. I understand that. He wasn't an eloquent speaker, but he was gentle in the way that he talked about the Bible. And he would use, I read that he would use like stick men to use to describe what it was that he was trying to explain. And he led many evangelistic missions and conventions in Rwanda, in Burundi, in Uganda, Sudan, Kenya, and Tanzania. And the really notable things that are recorded about this amazing revival, apart from many, many people turning to Jesus, was that there was a breakdown of ethnic and national barriers. So people who were perhaps not necessarily pray together or worship together would come together, and those barriers were being broken down. It also was notable for the status of raising the status of women in a place where women had historically been asked to be very silent, they were able to be a part of the work, both medically and also in the missionary work. Dr. Church, John, was really strongly associated with something called the Keswick Convention. And the motto then, I don't know if it still is, was all one in Jesus Christ. And you're nodding, that is still the motto. So very, very powerful and important at a time when things were quite segregated. John was very humble. He was deferential. And he was very humble in the way that he worked with the people in Africa. Didn't matter what their gender was, their nationality, their ethnic group. He was loved greatly. And there was a great acceptance of him and of the good news of Jesus because of the way that he was. And Dr. Church refused to discriminate between ethnic groups. And because of that, the Rwandan government said that it became untenable for him to stay in Rwanda. So actually in 1961, he had to leave because it was no longer safe for him. Because in that time, they were trying to make the divide between the Hutu and the Tutsis greater and greater as a way of ruling over all the people in Rwanda. So he left and he moved to Uganda. And eventually, I love this, they retired and settled in Little Shelford near Cambridge, England, back near to where this whole kind of story had begun. So why have I chosen the story about John Church to tell today? Well, partly because it is Kigali Sunday, so we're thinking about the place of Kigali. But also because Jesus came to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew puts it. But he never just sits down and tells us what the kingdom is. Instead, he gives us stories about what it's like. So the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's like yeast. It's like buried treasure. It's like a pearl. Or maybe the kingdom of God is like a man that sells everything, gets in a boat and sails to East Africa in pursuit of a call from God to go to Rwanda. From the parables of a mustard seed, yeast, buried treasure and a pearl, we learn that the kingdom of God is surprising, that it's often hidden and that it is worth everything. Jesus uses metaphors and stories to move us, help us understand and help us really get into the experience of what something is like. Jesus' parables draw us into this kingdom because it's not a theoretical kingdom and it's not like an earthly kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. So words are close to failing what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus was attempting to inspire a whole community of people with a vision and a dream of the how the world should be. Earlier this year, I had the absolute joy of going to Rwanda. I went to the Diocese of Kigali with a bunch of curates. And it was there that I first heard about John Church. So I didn't actually know about him before I went. And it was the Bishop of Kigali, Bishop Nathan, who explained to us that for them, the link to Dr. Church, the link to Cambridge, and therefore the link to us, that's me and all of you, that was really precious to them. Bishop Nathan and his colleague Odell described the link as being like an extended family. I mean, we know that we have brothers and sisters all around the world, don't we? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, which is extraordinary. But for the Rwandans there, they really feel that even more intensely. I'd like the next slide, please. If it's okay, I would like to quickly tell you another story, which is a story of an Anglican church in Rwanda, which is informally known as the Mango Tree Church. So I asked Odell, who I met in Rwanda, he is now the priest in charge of this church, but he was there in the early days as well. And Odell wrote me this story in an email. He says, "I was present during its early days and witnessed how it began to take shape. It started quite simply with a small group of believers gathering for prayer, fellowship, and worship under a mango tree. There was no formal structure at first, just a shared desire to grow in faith and to reach others in the community. Over time, more people joined, drawn by the sense of belonging and the work God was doing. As the numbers grew, so did the vision. And what became as a humble gathering under a tree gradually developed into an organized fellowship and eventually into a recognized parish community. The growth was not only in numbers, but in spiritual depth. It is a beautiful testimony of how God can take something very small and nurture it into something impactful, truly like the mustard seed in your reading. The mango tree itself is still there to this day. He says, you may have noticed it in the pictures I've just shared, that it stands just beside the back door of the church, a quiet but powerful reminder of those early beginnings and God's faithfulness through the years. Recently, Ruth and I and a couple of other people were praying for St. Philip's, and we were reminded that many years ago this church was built and that there would have been a small group of people who were involved in that, and that it has grown and has carried on through the generations. So this is a story that goes on around the world. He says, in the next slide, today we have a beautiful building and the story continues to unfold. So the next one, and he just says that they're striving to put up a children's centre which will support their Sunday school ministry and also serve as an early childhood development centre. And the next slide. So that's Odell's story and all those people who are part of the Mango Tree Church, and they are praying for us this morning. Odell said that they would be praying for us, and in a little bit, led by Liz, we'll be praying for them. The kingdom of God starts off small and hidden, a bit like a small group of believers gathering for prayer, fellowship and worship under a mango tree. Those people most likely had no idea as to what was beginning. And we here in Romsey might not be aware of how it is that God's kingdom is growing right now. It might seem like nothing is happening. Well, I wouldn't even agree with that. It does seem like things are happening. But especially when we look around the world and we see war and we see instability and difficulty, it can be very unsettling and make us unsure of what lies ahead. But please be assured that slowly, quietly, and surely, God's kingdom is growing among us. And if we look closely, we will see its beginnings or even its growth in the most ordinary circumstances of our lives. When we commit to pray, when people look out for each other, when new hope comes in a desperate situation, when wrongs are put to right, when good overcomes evil, when people work together for the common good, these are the seeds and buds of God's kingdom. Even when solar panels are put on the roof. And us gathering here today is a sign of hope, of God's unity and of his love. These things might seem like only tiny acts in the great scheme of things. But when they are done in the name of Jesus, who knows what they will lead to.